light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Welcome to all you closet Christs and you anointed ones who are emerging out of the closets of limitation and self, let's say, definition in limitation. And as you cast off those outworn garments, gray and dismal, that have misidentified self with the temporal, the limited, the sordid, and the becomingness rather than the beingness of your true self, welcome. We salute you for the courage that it takes to stand forth and be who you truly are without trying to imitate, without trying to denigrate, without attempting to fit in or to march to the drumbeat of any other soul, but to step forth as who you truly are, as an empowered being made in the image and likeness of the living God, in whom his spirit dwells and manifests through you. Tonight I would like to speak about, I think it's my favorite topic, and that is consciousness, how we project our reality. I was online the other day, and I was looking at a very interesting thread where someone had very cogently and beautifully articulated the various pictures of reality that people are projecting onto the timeline of the time that we're in, which many refer to as the period of Armageddon or Revelation or the last days. And really, all of these things simply mean, quite literally, the unveiling, the uncovering, and the opening into the light of real clarification and understanding in the deepest spiritual sense. The Spirit of the Living God is being poured forth on all flesh. And the Spirit of the Living God is the Spirit of truth, revelation, clarity, illumination, integration, and the uncovering of everything that has heretofore been kept covered. Now, we can certainly watch CNN and see that everything that has been hidden in the geopolitical arenas is coming to light. It's very difficult today to hide anything for very long because sooner or later it becomes uncovered. So on even the most basic human mundane levels, you can see this principle coming to bear. Another facet of the revelation and illumination is the revelation of buried scrolls, archival records, sacred objects that have been brought to light either under the ocean or discovered in mountain crevasses or as a result of the opening of the earth in sinkholes, earthquakes, landslides, things of this nature. And many of these precious objects have been encoded by the Brotherhood to be discovered in this time. Many ancient scrolls and scriptures are also coming to light and have been since probably the 60s at least. So this is the time of the revelation of the hidden things, when everything that has been undercover, both individually, collectively, planetarily, and having to do with the cosmos itself, we are actually discovering things in the cosmos that we didn't even realize were there. We have such a limited understanding in the human third-dimensional mindset that we could define as the ring-pass knot that we have circumscribed our infinite awareness with, that has kept us limited and defined, and believing that silly things like there is no other life form in the greater omniverse. How could an abundant creative spirit ever have such a paucity of creative imagination as to create only one race and one species on one tiny planet that is so infinitesimal that when you see it, it's floating on the lip, the very edge, the outer rim of the Milky Way galaxy. So as we expand, as we begin to awaken, we are, as we sit here tonight, we are actually moving into a new heaven and a new earth, new heavens and new earths, But for our intents and purposes, we are spiraling into a higher vibrational placement in cosmos, along with everything else. Nothing is static. Everything is moving, graduating, transitioning, and transforming to its next level. This is like moving into a new classroom with a new program, with a new experiential arena that will be defining itself and appearing in, as it were, more and more into our visual spectrum. At the same time, we are breaking the bondage of the time spirit. The spirit of time itself is called in Sanskrit Kal, K-A-L, which has several interesting meanings. It means time, it means darkness, and it also is the name collectively in the Hindi and Sanskrit tongue for that spirit of the world or worldliness or darkness that keeps us in confines of limitation, whatever they may be. We could call that Satan or the devil, every religious tradition has their own name for this energy field. But one of the names for it is blemishless darkness, because we are in a world system in the lower dimensions that is characterized by duality. Every energy has to be anchored by a being that assumes the responsibility for anchoring that energy in time and space. Nothing just floats in without a wiring system to get it down and anchored in a specific form. So likewise, darkness has a being who embodies pure darkness. There's also a being called Jyot, which means light, who anchors pure light. So you have these two components that hold in place the template of duality in the lower worlds. Now, you have a central band of energy, which very, very, very few teachers, except for the spiritual travelers, ever talk about. And this is neither the Jyot nor the Kal, the darkness or the light or the darkness, but is the middle neutral band that shoots right up in between them, so to speak. And therefore, that forms the point of transcendency or ascension or emergence from the labyrinths of duality and polarization. And that is the point that we ride up as we move in our individualized self, which we could call our spirit or our soul component, the jivi or the atma, that part of the consciousness that is capable of lifting and transcending the plane in which it's been defined in limitation to the level that allows releasement, is moving into that central core. Now, in previous shows, when I have taught you to sing the hu or the anai hu or yesh hu ah, all of those tones or chants will enable you to find that middle neutral spectrum. As you do that, you are able to extricate your consciousness like a silken scarf that's being pulled between two thorn bushes, because the light can hook you as much as the dark can. Now, this is very interesting, and I'll go into it excuse me, in a little more definition in a second. But as you chant the hue, or something that is non-defined in a religious construct that you can flow your energy neutrally up through, but ride it in the sound as you chant it, and you can chant it outwardly and then move the awareness inwardly and connect to that inner current that is transcendent, it carries you into a place in consciousness in which you are exactly centered in the self that you are. Generally, that's called soul expansion. Some teachings call it soul travel. In highest truth, we are not traveling so much as we are expanding sense of self and also channelizing it into a core of presence that is called in Hebrew the Leoesh Shekinah, Leoesh Kadosh. And what it is a pillar of the Holy Spirit, a pillar of the whole Spirit. Because remember, you are the embodiment, the temple for the whole Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is defined as light and sound, or living light and living sound, or illumination and revelation. So the place that you find your truth, the truth of your being, the truth of anything and any level in any dimension, is to move into that central, neutral corridor of ascendancy and transcendency of awareness. And as you chant the hue, you will find your energy, your mind, your wherever you've been, let's say, snagged, you'll find that you're like a helium balloon. That part that was snagged just begins to lift and transcend that level. Practice it. Begin to consider your life like a laboratory in which you are intensely scrutinizing, who am I? Where have I come from? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And where am I going? These thoughts constitute genuine meditation and genuine inquiry, which in Sanskrit is called vichara. Vichara is something more than just idle curiosity. It is the deep probing into the inner self with great sincerity and great intention to see and to probe beyond the obvious into that which is beyond. Remember, beloveds, that each of your five senses, and six if you consider your intuition, your sixth sense, each of your senses has a quantum component that enables it to sense at each level, multidimensionally, in a more refined manifestation. For example, your sense of smell translates to the sense of discernment at a higher level. The essential discerning of spirits in the very, very beginning of its manifestation, where you can sense when a person is coming from the truth of their being, or a spirit is operating through them, whether good or not good, or a manifestation of one's ego or intellect or emotional self. You can discern who is speaking. Likewise, those who love the Lord can discern the voice of the Lord as well. You can discern between the spirits that are talking to you. Jesus said that his sheep, that he is the good shepherd, and his sheep know his voice, and they will not follow another shepherd. So we know the voice of the Lord. In fact, when the Lord speaks, very, very seldom will you ever question the information. When your mind speaks, or portions of your conditioned consciousness speaks, or another entity speaks, there will always be some doubt. You'll always wonder, well, who was that? But when the Lord speaks, you will never doubt that. Whether it's an audible voice, which is rather rare, or an inner locution, as it's called, where you hear words in your mind but not actually outwardly audibly, or you have a downloading of knowingness. When the Lord speaks, it is so clear, you never, ever doubt it. And it's interesting because if you have a dream with the Lord and the Lord speaks, you never forget it. It's ingrained in your mind. So likewise, your sight has a quantum component. On the astral level, it's called clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is shared with the animal species that can see astrally. Everybody that's had a cat or a dog knows when dogs, the hackles on their back rise up and suddenly they're barking at space and you can't see what's there. Or your cat, you know, the tail goes up and all the fur sticks out and they go, "Meow!" and they leap up in the air and there's nothing there. So we know that animals are capable of clairvoyance. also indigenous peoples that live close to the land that are often practicing forms of ancestor worship or animism, where they worship the spirits in nature. Very often they will be clairvoyant. These are also the gifts that the shaman has. He's able to see into the next dimension closest to Earth, which is astral sight. Now, that vision, very often people complain that they don't see things in meditation. And they wonder, at one point they were having lots of colors and imagery and things. And I often tell them just to be content with what you have, because you don't stay in the same greatest school. You might start out having very, very vivid imagery or symbols or dreams or a lot of things taking place on the inner planes in the imaginative level. Remember that the astral plane, the plane closest to the earth, the emotional repository, is the plane of imaging in or imagination. When you see the movie The Secret, they are sharing with you the most fundamental basic law of the astral plane, which is to close your thoughts with the feeling nature, hold it steady, and it will manifest. So you're being taught the very, very first baby steps in beginning to materialize. When you get proficient at it, like Sai Baba, for example, you'll be able to match a thought with a feeling, with the realization and the appropriateness of the particular vibration that you wish to bring into form, and it will appear instantly. He says that his abilities, for example, to materialize anything that comes to his mind are not magic, and they're not the product of siddhis or yogic powers, but they're genuine divine expressions of his nature. Likewise, the avatar, such as Sai Baba, always comes to set, let's say, to give us a peek into where we're headed as a human species. That would be probably, and I'm guesstimating here, I haven't a clue really what the full impact of Sai Baba's presence on Earth is at this time. But let's say, for the sake of our metaphor here, that he is showing where we will be in the next 3,000 years of unfoldment, that would be the end product, to have that level of manifestation, that level of divine realization. And maybe I'm limiting it by saying 3,000 years. Let's just say that's our next, the area that we're headed into as a species, as we unfold, without putting a timeline on it. So each of your senses has this quantum extension into each of the other dimensions. Now, your hearing also. Hearing is interesting. In fact, let me digress for a second and say this, that you do not see with your eyes, you don't hear with your ears, you don't taste with your tongue, and you don't smell with your nose. How can I say that? It seems like we do, doesn't it? We are used to limiting those senses to those organs. But we know Helen Keller, for example, who lacked many of the senses that we take for granted, could still see, graduate from the university, take on a very powerful life, and do many of the things that we would not understand how she could do it, because it's been shown that when you lack, for example, sight, that your brain shifts that visionary component to another area of the brain so that you see, but in a different way. If you're deaf, you hear, but in a different way. You have a different manifestation of those same senses. I believe they probably move up into the astral component. Now we're going to take it down into the cell. Each cell in your body is capable of expressing each of the five senses. Each cell in your being is capable of morphing into any type of tissue or cellular component of any organ. They're just now beginning to discover this in science and work with it. but it's something that's been known, at least on my home world of Venus, for forever, for a long time, where you take a sample or a cell of the host's body, for example, if we're working and healing someone aboard our ships, we can duplicate, we can take that cell and we can build any organ to replace, for example, a diseased organ. We don't have diseases and things of that nature on my home world, my original home world of Venus. But you do still here on Earth for at least a while longer until you your vibration raises beyond disease. But the new healing, the new science, the new work that will be done eventually that will replace surgery and replace the need for replacing organs will be done by fiber optic injection of cellular membrane into diseased organs and allowing them to rebuild themselves from their own DNA, their own cells. And this will be greatly, greatly enhanced. And also it will take care of the carryover of the karmic imprint, for example, that people are experiencing when they have a heart transplant and they take on the nature of that person. We are so unique. Every single drop of our blood, every single cell has our own unique energy signature that's like no other in all of the cosmos. Your imprint of love, your specific light and sound symphony that is your soul song, let's say, your Bhagavad Gita, your divine melody is unique to you. So in the seeing process, the hearing, the sensing, all of that, which some of the new children coming in, you might have heard about them, a certain group of children is able to read with their elbows or their ears or their cheek or their feet. They can use different parts of their body to read. And I'm not saying tuning in psychically, but actually to read the letters and to look at photographs and even tell what was going on beyond the visual imprint of the image on the photograph. They can tell what was going on in the environment where the photograph was taken. So that's an example of the extension of the ability to see and know at a higher level. Likewise, all of the senses, those of you who are sensitive empaths, for example, you can sense when an earthquake is going to happen or something else, you'll pick it up energetically in your body. As the spiritual light pours forth into you and through you as a transduction device, you receive it in the areas that you have prepared a place. It will generally flow down the most easily into the area that you have opened the most. For example, if you are astrally or emotionally the most receptive, then you will receive a downloading into the emotions, which can produce what's called glamour. Glamour is excessive emotional attachment to a particular person, place, thing, or state. And we can see a lot of that going on today in what we would call fanaticism or fanatical ideologies that where the person absolutely cannot see beyond that mindset, whatever it is, and they're very, very emotionally vocal about telling you how it has to be this one way. That is a quality that comes in very much with the energies of the age we're just moving out of, which is the Piscean age under the sixth ray. The sixth ray is the ray of devotion in its highest expression and dedication, but it also is the ray of fanaticism. When you become englamored with your own point of view to the exclusion of everyone else's. So we are moving into an experiencing of that because the energies are impacting humanity primarily in the astral body at this time. A few people are receiving the energies in the mental body, those who have prepared a place for that to occur. Now, if it hits the lower mind or the ego mind, the thinking mind, the didactic, linear thinking mind, it will produce illusion, which again is undue attachment to mental theories. We see this sort of thing take place where people have relegated their understanding, for example, in science to this is the way it is, and don't confuse me with the truth. It's this way and no other way. So whenever you see someone inordinately attached to an emotional or a mental construct to where they are incapable of broadening the consciousness or the awareness to embrace of anything else or even to consider it, then you know that the energy is impacting a consciousness that hasn't prepared a higher placement or receivership for understanding to come in a more holistic and a more integrated way. Those of you who are the Lords of Light who have come down into human form at this time to assist humanity to witness, expand their awareness so they can actually participate and witness the dawning of this golden age where they won't have the stasis or the being put in suspended animation, which is going to be necessary for many people for the transformation. But they'll be able to actually consciously co-participate and be a part of the wonderful dawning that is taking place on in the golden age. Something the Lord has been reminding me and speaking into my heart the last week has been, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I am that I am. I make all things new. And we are having the revelation of a new heavens, a new earth, and a new heart. And as we make that transition, that shift into the new energy, you will not even remember those old negative things. The former things won't even come to your mind. They won't enter into your heart. You will move into this glorious time of transformation that we have all been waiting for and praying for and envisioning and dreaming for. I like to speak about the positive things we're moving into because there's so much rhetoric about Armageddon and war and all that sort of thing, and you've heard me speak on a number of occasions that in my experiencing of being recently with Satya Sai Baba, the Christ avatar, the Father Mother avatar, who is the anointed one. I'm not saying that he is Jesus. He's not Jesus. He manifests a different aspect than Jesus. He manifests the Father Mother principles of truth. Sai Baba says that the Father represents truth, the Divine Mother represents love. So the name Satya means truth, Sai means mother, and Baba means father. So he's the embodiment of true mother, father. And these are principles. Bear in mind, we're not talking about bodies. We're talking about principles, cosmic principles. And he has come at this time for the specific purpose of preventing nuclear holocaust and destruction, which given us, you know, free rein, we no doubt would have gone there. My understanding is that it will not be permitted, that even though it looks not so good in the outer, we spiritual people are learning to walk by faith and not by sight and not to believe the evidence of the outer world, which is really just simply the projection of consensus beliefs upon the clear and pristine white canvas of creation. Really, it's mankind projecting these fearful images. Many of us have chosen to turn our consciousness and to behold the Lord and the glory of the Lord, to raise our eyes and witness literally the salvation that is coming in the clouds. It's very interesting. As many of you know, I'm a deep Bible scholar in the sense that I love to read the scriptures. And right now I'm very much into the Judeo-Christian scriptures, although I've read a lot of the Hindu scriptures and Vedic scriptures in the past. But right now I'm really, really in for about the last 8 years been into the Bible. And I want you to understand that the Bible and scriptures that are truly scriptures, truly inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it says that all Scripture is Spirit-breathed. In other words, it's inspired supernaturally if it's truly Scripture. And how can you tell? Well, it's infallible. If it's really Scripture, it's always true. It always comes true. It always bears the test of time. And it is consistent in revelation. Excuse me. It's consistent in working exactly as it says it will work. However, herein lies the rub. It can be interpreted and is interpreted depending on where the person that is interpreting is opened or illumined. So it has a very basic human, it means what it says, and it says what it means, and you can apply it on a very basic human level. You can also apply it on a very deep cosmic and esoteric level. There's seven different levels, at least, and probably more than that, in which you can understand Scripture. So you can't go beyond the light area that you have prepared in your consciousness. So that's why the Scriptures are living. They open you up into corridors of understanding, which if you prepared your mind and you're open and receptive and anointed by the Holy Spirit, it becomes a living tapestry of light. And it goes deep, 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 and keeps going. I haven't found any end to it quite personally. It goes into hyperdimensional understanding, but only to the degree that you have opened yourself up and prepared yourself to receive it. It's very interesting. So when you read the Revelations, or Revelation by John, the great ascended master who received these visions, the imagery is very frightening. And most people don't really know what it means. It scares them, and they close the book quickly and go on. But if you study with a really good eschatologist, which would be a person who has devoted their lives to decoding and understanding the Scriptures, particularly Revelation, end-time Scriptures, you can receive a lot of information. And another group of beings who has brought forward very, very good information about these days we are in are the Mayans. So if you have the intellectual courage, and not just courage, but the call of God to really study and explore and go into these things deeply, fine, do that. If you don't, for heaven's sakes, don't worry about it, because you do what you do. You are who you are, and God, who dwells within you, knows exactly what you need to study or not, and will give you an interest in those areas that he wants you to move into. So you can trust that. So we are learning to walk by faith and not by sight, and to call a thing forward as though it were, and act as though it were, act as if, and it shall be. And there we go back again to the law of attraction and the secret. That's basically, in a nutshell, what the secret was teaching us. So you see those same cosmic principles and laws in the Scriptures. And again, each level, each dimensional plane, each subtle body that you're operating in, or if you're operating in the soul, you'll have different levels within each of the dimensional planes that have entirely different laws by which they operate. So we have to really be aware of how little we know in the human limited mind, and be humble in the sense that there's always more for us. No matter how skilled we may be in some area, we're still infants compared to what we're moving into. And moreover, we are truly virgins. Truly, we're entering into a virginal area of creation that none of us really know what it's going to be like at all. We can speculate, we can guesstimate, we can imaginate, we can germinate, but the truth is it's going to be what it's going to be, and the best we can do is to be in a position of acceptance, yieldedness, malleability, mobility of consciousness, allowing those new energies to come in graciously without fighting them or grabbing them with our minds and our belief systems and trying to make them different than they are. Allow information to come into you now without trying to understand it, question it, critique it. Don't do anything with it, particularly those of you who are receivers and transmitters from the command, those of you who are writers. Learn to allow information to drop into your awareness and just be present with it. Be the objective observer and just allow it to download. And once it's downloaded completely, you don't have to do anything with it, but look at it and work it if you see that you can work it. And if you can't, just let it be. And you discern it in terms of whether or not it's workable. But all information comes from the one source. All information comes from the Holy Spirit. It just either segues into the ego, in which case it's somewhat distorted and tarnished, or it falls into a prepared consciousness and illumines the mind and is assimilated into the lower mind where it can begin to formulate it into a structure. It comes down into the emotional body where you're able to faith into and believe into it to where you can begin to work it. And it flows down into the physical body as an aptitude of being able to express it. So we want to be hollow. The metaphor is often given in the Vedas of being a hollow flute through which the Lord can blow his sweet melody. Be a hollow flute. Allow the Lord to pick you up and put you to his lips and to blow the beauties of his celestial melodies through you. Allow yourself to ride in that central column, which is the sound current of God, that divine current of grace and love and mercy. Allow yourself to move into that transcendent place that is not trying to hook into either this is the way it is and this is the right way, or that's not the way it is and that's the wrong way. Don't even go there. Stay in the center. Be the Leoe Shekinah, the Leoe Shekadosh, the pillar of the Holy Spirit, the pillar of wholeness and holiness. Be that light. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. And so don't hide it under a bushel basket or in the closet or in somebody else's truth or belief systems or God box or religious box or scientific box or any box. Be a one of original of yourself. Be who you are. It's better for you to be real and authentic than to be right. By saying that, I mean what is right is to be true to yourself. What does that mean? Your ego? No. Your mind? No. Your emotional body? No. Your inner child? No. I'm talking about you as an incarnation of the living word and the living sound of God, the whole spirit, you. You, that part that is beyond birth and death and being and becoming, and the name you're wearing for a temporary lifetime, and the body you're manifesting in with its particular gender, you, behind the backdrop of all you think you've ever been or who you think you are now, is the self that has always been one with God. That part. Be true to it. Time goes so fast, my gosh. I'm always amazed that I feel like I just get started and it's almost time to wrap it up. I wanted to share a couple experiences that I had this week also. I'm always constantly researching, and of course my own consciousness is one of my favorite laboratories. And it should be yours too, your own consciousness. But I was preparing for a session with someone, and I was praying to be of service and to receive the information that would be appropriate for that particular client. And all of a sudden, the downloading looked, and I experienced it like you've all seen the slot machines, I imagine, in Las Vegas, where you have the rolling windows that, you know, spell out whether or not you won. The downloading was very much like that. I was aware of a spinning downloading energy, much like the slot machines. And it was right in the middle of my forehead. It wasn't in the lower brow area, which is usually the thinking part of the brain, but it was in the mid-forehead. And I was receiving a rapid, beyond time as we know it, very rapid downloading of the information for this particular soul. And I watched it, and I've often said that spirit is not passive. It's very, very active and has a great motility to it. I was looking clairvoyantly or through the inner gaze at this intense moving energy field. It was just, oh, wow, it's moving so rapidly. And of course, I just allowed it to download. I didn't try to make sense of it. I didn't try to impede it or stop it with trying to think about it or into it. I was just in receivership and observership. So, and of course, it later came out in the session with a woman, and very beautifully so. And it's that way for you, too, if you take the time to trust yourself and who dwells within you and to be present with yourself and allow that downloading to occur. Learn not to jump upon every thought with your yes but or your preconditioned understanding of what you think that is. So often people who are afraid of having their paradigm expanded will be so quick to jump on your concept that they won't even hear it out, much less consider that it might be a new way of approach for them. We have to get over that tendency of mental constriction, of prejudging, of pre-limiting information. As long as we do that, we're not going to be able to consciously participate in the higher experiences that are there for us because they get log jammed in our conditioned lower ego-based mind. So transcend that mind. And again, the easiest way to transcend that mind is to chant the hu, anai hu, or yesh hu, you could also chant sai ram, and that would sound like sai ram. And Ram, the name Ram or Rama, is the solar, Ra is the solar, Ma is the lunar currents of the Ida and the Pingala that are the energies that go up your spine. Together, they represent the Atma or the pure spirit within you. And that particular mantra of Ra, Ma, Rama, or Ram, not only brings a tremendous amount of spiritual energy and centeredness into you, but it also helps to vanquish demonic tendencies in the mind. Rama is the aspect of God that vanquishes the demonic. So again, it is a good mantra to balance the right and left lobes of the brain, the Ida and the Pingala, which I have spoken of as the male and the female or the negative and positive currents in the body. And then the shakshumna is that central current that comes up the spine. We in the sound current tradition that I am a representative of and initiate of, we don't go up the spine. We actually don't go any lower in the consciousness than the crown chakra, the brow chakra. In fact, the third eye has three aspects. It's the pineal, the pituitary, and the hypothalamus form a triangle within the skull. And the skull represents the Golgotha, the place of the skull where the Christ is crucified. And that crucifixion takes place when a cross is formed in the center of your head with the Ida, the pineal and the pituitary form a Merkaba, a cross-like formation. in the center of the skull. And there the ego self is transcended. And you move up through the top of your head into the pyramid called the eighth chakra, called the Avanchitaya, the rock of salvation. And that eighth chakra is your Christ over self. It represents the Christ over self, that all of your lower chakras become subsumed into that, in other words, integrated and transcend into that eighth template. Now, that's the staging arena where you have direct communication at all times with the hierarchy and the brothers and sisters of light, even while you're in your physical flesh. And there you can witness the resurrection, the transfiguration of your body from the carbon-based limitation of limited light to the Ein Sof of your higher bodies of light. We are in the time of the resurrection spoken of in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 17 to 18, where we are going to be putting on immortality. We're shifting from the codes of limited light and gravitationally trapped light to the Ein Sof of limitless, resurrected life, eternal, which is the gift of Jesus the Christ in his life, in his 33 years, where he completely transfigured the fallen body, the body that had come under the fall. He completely, in his own persona, transfigured and transformed that body, brought it through the death experience and into the resurrection. So he was the one of the sonship that did that for all of humanity, to set the template, because it only takes one in the collective to do it for the all. So now we follow in his footsteps, and we, through grace and through the work that he's already completed on the cross, and through his resurrection, we walk in his footsteps, following after his pattern, and come into that place of resurrection or ascension and transfiguration. So that's our destiny, folks. We're moving into that. And if you want to be conscious, then make sure you're following the light. Make sure that you're doing everything that you're being guided by your spirit to do to prepare the place. You know, the first thing that has to happen is the Christ has to be born in the Bethlehem, the place of bread, which is your body. Bethlehem means the place of bread, house of bread. So you have to birth the Christ within your inner heart, called being born again. Christ has to be born within your heart. And then that Christ has to grow up and assume its full his full manifestation within you. And that's been represented and walked out physically in a historical timeline for you in the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus the Christ. So he laid down the template for each of us to do that. And that template can be seen. It's been an archetype that's always been present on our planet. It's been alluded to by previous sun gods, and in the very solar dynastic teachings of many, many cultures, until finally the time was fulfilled when a human man and divine Son of God embodiment could take place through Jesus the Christ and embody that in a physical pattern that we could all see and understand and receive the keys and the codes of living light from. So I love to talk about these deeper understandings of these things that so many of us have been indoctrinated into in churches and reading scriptures and so forth, but there's a deeper understanding that's so awesome, it's so beautiful. Again, the books that I highly recommend for our ground fleet that really, really will open up the scriptures of light and the understanding of what we're going through as a species right now, you can find in The Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak, The Keys of Knowledge, The Book of Knowledge. The Keys of Enoch, The Book of Knowledge. It's a big white book with the Holy Spirit on the cover, and Yote Wote on the cover. And, of course, the Bible. I really like the Amplified version. They're all good, but the Amplified brings out all the different nuances of the Greek and Hebrew words. And The Course in Miracles is really the best guideline for understanding how we are going to be living, thinking, functioning, and operating in the higher dimensional worlds from whence we've come and into which we are now moving as a membrane of light called the human species. It's one of those days I wish we had open lines for questions, because I feel that many of you have questions out there. We understand things by coming into a quiet place each day with the Lord. The Lord will speak to you. The Course in Miracles says that the voice of the Holy Spirit is as loud as your willingness to hear. The Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself. If you will sit down with a tablet and a pen and your favorite scriptures, and you ask the Lord to open up your understanding and to reveal to you the wisdom and the download, the understanding and insight that you need at any particular time, you can trust that he will do that. He may have to work with you a little to prepare you. You may have some cleanup work to do in your emotions or your mind, or you may need some forgiveness. You do realize if you have any unforgiveness or grievance against someone that, nothing's going to open up for you. So make sure that you're prayed up, all your forgiveness is in order, and that you have prepared a place in your life to receive the wisdom of God. We prepare a place to receive the stock market and the latest sitcoms and sports and all that stuff. But how many of us make room in our lives to receive the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? It says in the scriptures that the true worshipers of God will worship God in spirit and in truth. And I've thought so much about that. What does that mean? And lately, what it's meant for me is that when I've tried to pray with my mouth, with my lips, I'm very quickly silenced by the incredible love and presence I feel with the Beloved. You just have to call him the Beloved, because he is so beloved. And I'm stunned to silence, because we're in that time when one of the things that's happening is that we're being filled with joy and peace, unending, unfathomable, beyond anything we could have ever imagined or conceived or dreamed or thought of. I know I'm experiencing it, and I know I'm not unique. I do prioritize my time with God above everything else, and I let an awful lot of things go that I could be doing other than that. But for me, nothing is as important as being with the Beloved and receiving the revelation that he is so anxious to impart, because I want to be of service, and I know you do too. I know those of you who have listened to me this long know that we are all one, in that desire of our heart is to know, love, and serve God and his people, to be in his presence, and to be of service at this time is the greatest privilege. And I find that gratitude and that awe to awaken each day and say, I have another day to know what I know, to be who I am, to love you, my Lord, and to serve you. What could be greater than that, really? And if you're not at that place yet, ask the Lord. Ask him to clear you, pick you up by your heels, and shake out everything he didn't put into you, and to fill you with his spirit, to give you that love, to turn you inside out so that pure, beautiful, pristine white spirit that you are, that golden light of the Christ that you are, that living word that you are, can be shared with humanity. We in the Ashtar Command are dedicated 100% to being God's helpers, to serve the Christ in his ministry and mission of love to this and a myriad of worlds. For the Lord does have sheep of other pastures. Many of you are from his other folds throughout the galaxies. Know that as we move through these times ahead, if you keep your eyes fixed upon the Lord, he will keep you in perfect peace. He will protect you, and nothing shall come near to you that would harm you or your children. Give everything to him. Give your kids to him. Give your life to him. Give your hopes and dreams and wishes, everything. And allow him to give you his very best, because that's what he has lined up for you, is his very best. The kingdom of heaven and all he possesses are yours. And you're to have it now while you're alive. In the physical body, you'll always be alive, but I'm talking about your physical body. Ascension is simply expansion into a greater understanding and revelation of all that we've always been. We're not leaving the earth. We are indeed graduating into a new understanding and perspective, and it's being done through us and to us through great, great love and grace by a myriad of great brothers and sisters of light and the Lord Jesus the Christ and all of the 144,000 ascended masters that work with him from all ages and backgrounds and creeds and climes. We are all one, although patterned in such great and exquisite diversity. Remember to repeat the name of the Lord with love and to sing Hue and to allow it to shift your energy beyond the lower restrictions of closeted, limited thinking. Expand and keep expanding until you're simply heart space. The entirety of you has become the heart of God. And wherever you live, you are home. You are here. You are now. And you are the beloved, and you are beloved, and you are the walking prayer that enables the world to know what God is like. We of the command love you and surround and bless you at all times. You but need to think of us, to be present with us. You but need to look into the mirror to see us, for you are one of us, and you're here on earth assignment. Because you're heaven's very best and finest. With our deepest love, we greet you this holy evening or morning, depending on where you're listening to me. And we're always available to be of service in any way that we can. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed indeed is the name of the Lord. And that name of the Lord is also your name and my name and every name. When you know who you are and you're living in grace and love. So we'll close. I think we have about 2 minutes. And let's just chant Yeshua, the Hebrew name of the Lord Jesus. Deep breath. Bless you, Adonai, Adonai, Adonai.